Joy, strength to you from the King of Kings, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 8 days after Jesus was born as Savior of the world, he was circumcised and he officially received his name. Let's read about that in Luke chapter 2 as we start here. Verse 21 says, "And at the end of 8 days, he was circumcised. He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Today I'd like to talk to you about names. Do you think there's power in names? Say amen.
Amen.
Is there power in your name, in other people's names, in God's name, and especially in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name? He received the name Jesus at his circumcision. An angel had given this name. It was by the direction of God the Father. This name is powerful, and it means something. So today I'd like to talk with you about the power of names. To name something, the power in using a name. Do you think you use in your life the power of names effectively? Do you know the power that's contained in the use of a name? Do you actually use names in your life to get victory in Christ? Let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us through his word, the scriptures. Now, first thing I can say is this, is that really, Americans pretty much do not regard names as very important, do they? We really don't. I mean, as an example, if you meet somebody, you shake their hand and, "Oh, hi, nice to meet you," and "You are," and "I am," and what happens 2 seconds later? "I have no idea what that guy's name was. Can't remember it." Right? We don't really pay attention to names or regard them as having power. We have to 5 minutes later say, "And what was your name again?" We don't think about names as having power. Secondly, we don't think about the meaning of names. You know, as Americans, when we name our children, most Americans just pick a name for their child that's pretty, that goes along with their last name and sounds very melodious to the ear, to the ring of the ear. We don't think so much about the meaning of the name a lot of times. So this is different from other cultures. I always think of that example from, remember Dances with Wolves, that movie? The Native American culture. And Kevin Costner was the hero and he's the soldier. And the Native Americans in there said, "You are called Dances with Wolves." Why was that? Because he danced with a wolf. His name had meaning to them. It stood for something. He married a girl named Stands with Fist. Probably maybe some of you have married women who have such a name, Stands with Fist. But she got the name Stands with Fist because she stood up with a fist to defend herself. Her name had great meaning. But you know, as Americans, we don't really think of names as having much meaning. Like when I say Teresa or Dave, we're not thinking of the meaning. We're just thinking that's the name, but we don't have meaning attached to it. And because we don't attach meaning to it, we also don't attach power to names, authority to names. We even make jokes about names. I was sailing on a schooner years ago, and the chief science officer, the professor, his last name was Harding, Professor Harding. He named his daughter, he's a bit of a hippie, he named his daughter Laurel Ann. So her name was Laurel and Harding. Making jokes about names. And we make jokes about names too. We say, "Oh, don't worry what to call me, just don't call me late for dinner." So we don't know as Americans the power and the meaning that's contained, the essence of names. But that's just Americans. Let's understand that we're Christians. And let's hear what God says in Scripture, in the Bible, about the power that's contained in names and the naming of things. Let's look at Genesis 1, for example, when God began to create the heavens and the earth. On day 1, it says, God said, "Let there be light." There was light, and God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. Verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening, and there was morning one day. And then on the second day, God made the firmament in which he put the sun and the moon and the stars, and God called the firmament heaven. So what is the very first thing God started doing when he created the world? Naming things. It's an act of power and authority. Because he created it, he can name it. He has power and authority over it to put into the name the essence of the thing. There's a call for Greg? Excellent, I'll take it. No. It's a cell phone going off. Okay. Power, so someone's calling my name, isn't that great? It must be a very powerful name. We see that God didn't name everything. He named those things, but he left some for Adam to name. We turn to the next page, that's Genesis chapter 2, and it says that God was going to make a helper for Adam. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and bird of the air, brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. Why was Adam able to do this, to name the creatures? God is king, but Adam was king with a small k over all creation. Because remember, dominion was given to man. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every creeping thing. And so Adam, since he was in a position of power, could in a very powerful act name all the creatures. And God gave him the power to name them because he had authority. Remember when he created then Eve, his wife, he says that this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So God gave a name to the other species, or I should say gender, right? It seems like a different species sometimes. Oh, come on. Rough crowd. And then he called his wife's name in Genesis 3, Eve. And that's a Hebrew word for life, because she gave birth to all the life of the human race came from her. So it's a very powerful act of a person in authority to give names to that which is around him and underneath him in authority. And even a man today, when he marries a woman, changes her name, right? When I married Beth, she was Beth Ann Rowan. Then she became Beth Ann Lassier. I gave her my name, and that with the new name was a power change. She came into a different identity, a new life, a new house, a new purpose, a new adventure, because her name changed, and I changed it, really. And in the same way, parents name their children. Anybody ever have a child name their parents? It doesn't work that way. Parents are in power and authority, and therefore they name their children. Just like Abraham, it says, when Sarah conceived and bore a son in their old age, Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore, Isaac. So Abraham, in a position of authority, names his child, and the name was not without great meaning, capturing the essence of Isaac. For what does Isaac mean? It means to laugh and to rejoice. So if you're 100 years old and your wife is 90, and you get a child, it's time for joyful laughter. That was the essence of his name. So do you believe a name has meaning and power attached to it? Well, you can look at some of the other names in the Bible, like Adam. What does that word mean? It's very close to another Hebrew word, Adamah, which means earth, because he was made out of the earth, and God breathed into him life. Eve, as we said, her name is life, because she gave birth to all living. Abram means father, and God said at one point, no longer shall he be Abram, father, but Abraham, which means father of many, because he became the father of many nations, both spiritually and physically. Malachi means my messenger. Moses means deliverer, because he was delivered or drawn up out of the Nile and saved. And he is also the one who delivered Israel. His name means deliverer. You know that the angels themselves have powerful names? Here's an archangel in the Bible called Gabriel. You've heard of him. You know what his name means? Picture it. His name is God is my strength, or God is my hero. Isn't that great? What a great angel he must be. Hi. God is my hero and strength. Archangel Michael, you've heard of him. That means, Michael means he who is like God. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know that the devils have names as well? I'll open up to Revelation 9 over the evil spirits we read in verse 11. That they have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. Would you like to meet this fierce fiend in a dark alley? A prince called Destruction and Destroyer? That's his name. It means destroyer is his name. And so he is. How about Satan? What's Satan mean? It means enemy, adversary, he who stands against you. He has another name called Devil. In Greek, it's Diabolos, which means slanderer, false accuser or accuser, which means he's going to use names to try to tag you with a false name. He's a slanderer. He's a liar is his name. So names capture the essence of a person in Scripture. And it's very powerful to use a name, to know a name. And names are very powerful. And we got to have names that we want to live up to. I think about, well, I really think God named me. My last name, Lassier, means the Lord. My middle name, Michael, is the angel's name. It's like the Lord. And Gregory means alert or watchman. So I believe I should try to live up to that. I should be an alert watchman, like the Lord, serving the Lord, live my whole life for him. And God help me to do it. I need his strength for that. So names, do you believe they're powerful? Remember Jesus when he's contending and he's casting out the demon from that man who is amongst the tombs? He says, what is your name? And the angel says, Legion, for we are many. Right? So names, powerful, contain the essence of a person. So I want to ask you a question right now. As a Christian, in your life, do you know and use the power of names for victory? Do you name things? You know, as Americans, we don't think about names, as I said. But I would say, as Christians, we ought to think about it. I know that, at least, I haven't done it very well in my life, but at one point, I remember when I was in pastor training, I was chaplain at a detox place for drugs and alcohol. And they wanted to make fun of me, the guys I was going to teach a class to. You know what they labeled me with? Charlie Chaplin. They said, because I was a chaplain, they said, hey, it's Charlie Chaplin. And so they're trying to get power over me by a name. So I go into the class, and I go around to each of them to start out, and I say, oh, hi, what's your name? Oh, Steve, nice to meet you. Mike and Ted, nice to meet you. I got their names. Then in the class, when they're trying to mouth off to me as Charlie Chaplin, I said, oh, Steve, what do you think about that? Ted, what are your thoughts on this? Mike, have you had any experiences like this? And you know what? It silenced them. They were exposed and before me because I knew their names, which meant they couldn't mouth off to me because I'm calling them by their first name. There's power in naming something or having a person's name or using a name. There's power in names. Now let's get to a touchy subject. Ready? Who do you think in recent times has used names in the naming of things or people to more advantage than anyone else? I knew it, you'd say it. Our president, President Trump. He knows and uses the power of names more than anybody else. If you think about it, since he's been running for president and since he's been president, he has had to deal, whether you like him or not, you have to agree, he's been attacked nonstop from most of the Republicans, all the Democrats, the whole political machine has been against him, and he's been attacked on every corner by his greatest enemy, the news media. They hit him day and night. And somehow, and I don't know, I was amazed. I'm like, how does he just brush these things off his shoulder? I mean, I don't like criticism. How does he just deal with this? And how does he always seem to win and get the upper hand and take the advantage? every time his enemies go away, licking their wounds and grumbling, and then he wins the presidency. How did he do it? And I was praying to God about this one time. I was like, how does he get this confidence? How does he do it? And instantly, out of surprise, I heard names. He knows and uses the power of names. And I was like, you know what? That's true. I never thought of that before. He knows and uses the power of names. And that's how he always wins. If you think about it, when Jeb Bush, excuse me, who was attacking him in the candidates in the primaries, how did Trump use names to attack him? He said, "Oh, he is who knows his nickname? Jeb Bush. Okay. Low energy. Well, you got it, Cecile. Low energy Jeb." And he kept on saying, "Oh, he's sleepy Jeb. Where are all Jeb's supporters? They're over there sleeping right now." You're laughing, right? Because it's a funny name, and it sticks. That's how he does it. And then again, you have Marco Rubio, who said, "Oh, Trump has little hands," and he says, "Oh, he's little Marco. Little Marco." And then you can't think of anything but little Marco. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts attacked Trump. You know that one. Oh, yeah, okay, you know this one. You know, even if you know my sermon before I'm saying it, try not to say it ahead of time because it throws me off. But, you know, she was attacking him, and he realized that she'd lied to become about her Native American heritage in order to become a professor at Harvard, so he says, "Oh, Pocahontas, she's Pocahontas." Then he had Senator Al Franken, who was attacking Trump, and he was caught about that picture, you know, trying to grope Leanne Tweeden. It was a radio talk show host, and he says, Trump says, "He's not Al Franken, he's Al Frankenstein." Then you have Kim Jong-un, which most people are very scared of because he's a North Korean. What? Yeah, oh, you guys know this. He wrote to the South Korean leader. He says, "Oh, how's our rocket man doing?" Later on, he called him Little Rocket Man. Notice how he takes people who are enemies and who are seemingly great threats to him and then belittles them with a name and puts them underneath him so that you laugh and sort of it diffuses the fear. If you think about his chief rival, Hillary Clinton, he picked her apart with the 30,000 emails that were, you know, deleted with hammers and etc. Oh, she's crooked Hillary. But notice he didn't just say it once, he kept on saying it over and over to get the power over by a name, and then she was tagged. And you branded. You couldn't think of it anything but that. CBS, MSNBC, CNN is called by him fake news. And that's almost a part of the American vocabulary. It's so popular now. Everybody's saying that. And then when he was, I saw an interview with him on Face the Nation with John Dickerson, CBS. And John Dickerson says, "So are you calling me fake news?" And Trump says, "Don't get me wrong, I love your show. I call it Deface the Nation." And I watched this, I was like, I can't believe he just said that right to the guy's face. But as soon as he said that, all the war that was going on, his enemy was defeated, and it was like the interview was over at that point. He'd already won the interview. Notice it was by the use of a name, a nickname, the power of a name, and he does it every time if you watch that as a pattern. That's how he wins, so that you can't think of anything but that name. And it puts the enemy underneath him to defeat him so that he goes away licking his wounds. Just for fun this week, I thought, I wonder if he likes his own name. Let's look up Donald Trump. I looked it up. Donald actually means, get this, world ruler or great chief. Trump means to have a superior power over, to get the better of someone, to outrank or defeat someone, especially in a highly public way. And then it's like the Trump card in Bridge or Whist. You've played that, right? And the Trump card beats all the other cards. So he must really love his own name, I'm sure. I wonder if a large part of his confidence comes from him naming everything and everyone that he sees. Because think about this, if you or I were to go up against, let's say, all the news, we'd be like, "Oh no, they're going to destroy me, they're in the news media." He's just like, "Oh, it's just fake news, and by the way, your ratings are down." if Senator Warren were to attack us, we'd be like, oh no, Senator Warren's attacking us. He'd be like, oh, that's just Pocahontas. If North Korea is firing off missiles, we'd be like, oh no, it's a horrible threat. He's like, oh, that's just Little Rocket Man. You see, by the name, everything becomes small and goes underneath him, and he is over the top of it, and it diffuses the fear of that person. For him, I know it ticks other people off, so I'm not saying this is, you know, I mean, some people like him, some people can't stand him, some people laugh, some people are outraged. I'm not commenting on any of that. I'm just saying he knows, and he uses the power of names, and that's what I want you to get out of it. Couldn't we as Christians, in a better way than that, use the power of names to our own advantage? And isn't that scriptural? Think about this. What does Jesus tag the devil with as his name? He says, you're a liar and the father of lies, and you're a murderer from the beginning. He calls him what he is, captures him with the essence of a name, and says, this is what you are. Notice the devil's name is a slanderer. He's a false accuser. What does the devil try to do to defeat you and me? He gives us false names. He tries to tag you with a nickname that's not your real essence, that's a lie, in order to defeat you and to put you underneath his authority and to make your life a disaster. Think about that. Let's give you an example. The devil comes to you and says, your name, you're just much afraid. You're always afraid of everything. You'll never be free of that. You're much afraid. You say to him, you're wrong, devil. You're a liar. My name is more than a conqueror, for so it says in Romans chapter 8. He comes to you again and says, well, your name is Worrywart. You're always worrying. You'll never escape that. You're a worrywart. Wrong again, devil. My name is Confident, for Hebrews 13 says, God will never fail me, never forsake me. You counter him with a name, you see? And he says, you're an insignificant speck of nothing. Wrong again, devil. My name is Valuable, for I am bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 6. You're unloved, that's your name. Nope, devil. Psalm 86 says, his greatest is steadfast love toward me. No, you're accused. You're guilty before God. No, wrong again, devil. My name's free and forgiven. For Jesus said in John 8, the Son will make you free. Devil says, my name is Champion. You say you're wrong again, devil. Boy, you haven't got any of these right. What's the matter with you? Your name is defeated. For Colossians 2 says, Jesus made a public spectacle of you, triumphing over you through his cross. You see how you can use the power of a name? See, he's trying to tag you with things all the time. You've got to use the power of names that is in accordance with the scriptures, what God said about you, and put him beneath you where he belongs, for he truly is beneath you. For Christ has conquered him. And Romans 16, that God will soon crush Satan to dust under your feet. Under your feet. Is he getting the upper hand of you? He'll try to do it by tagging you with a name. You tag him with the right name and put him underneath you. You know, you can do this also by making up some names for things. Like Adam named the creatures. Authority was given him to be able to do that. Because dominion was given to him. He was king. Do you think you could do that with some things that are threatening you? Let's take, for example, a Christian who is wrestling with alcoholism. All right? And alcohol gets the upper hand every time. Do you think he or she could get the victory by name? What would you name alcohol if you're an alcoholic? The world wants to call it a cold one. Sounds kind of nice and pleasing. What should you name it?
Destroyer.
Destroyer? That's a goodie.
Drunk?
I thought of this one. How about sewage? That way, next time someone hands it to you, if you're addicted to this and you don't want that, you just say, why would I want sewage? You just call it what it is, in essence, to you, because it would destroy you. Call it that. Or let's say a lusty woman wants to seduce you. You say, oh, you mean death trap over here? Why would I want to go into death trap? That's truly her name, because she seeks to destroy me. Or how about if something's really scaring you and you're like, you know, you're afraid of it and afraid of the day. And people say, aren't you afraid? You say, afraid? Why should I be afraid? Of Nothing Burger. It's a Nothing Burger. It's a ridiculous name, but it's popular, right? It's a Nothing Burger. You think you could do this even for death? I mean, we get afraid of death sometimes as Christians because we're thinking death, oh no, it's the great unknown, it's non-existence, it's judgment or whatever. No, what is it to us? Aren't you afraid of death? Why should I be afraid of death? What do you mean? What would be a good name for death, by the way? What? Okay, there's some good ones. I thought of this one. How about this? Highway home. You know, why should I be afraid of highway home? That's all it is to me. I've captured it in essence by name, because to me as a Christian, it just means I get to go home. It's my highway to be with glory, with God and Jesus Christ and my loved ones in the faith. I mean, I've captured it by a name, and now all of a sudden, it's beneath me. It's not so scary. It's defeated because it truly is beneath my feet. As a Christian, do you know that Jesus gives new names to his disciples? Have you ever looked at that in the Bible? When Andrew is bringing Simon over to meet Jesus for the first time, Jesus looks up and says, "So, you're Simon, son of John? You shall be called Peter," which means rock. I mean, isn't that great? Would you ever go see the movie Rocky if he was named Fluffball? Fluffball versus Apollo Creed, the destroyer, which, because Apollo means destroyer, basically. Apollyon. I mean, no, his name was Rocky, and he was an Italian tank. Go get him, Rock. Right? Well, Jesus called Peter Rock, because upon this rock, your confession, I'll build my church. Great name. Live up to it, Peter. Then Jesus gave a name to James and John. He called them Sons of Thunder. Isn't that beautiful? Live up to that name. You're Sons of Thunder. The apostles picked up on this and changed the name of a man named Joseph. They surnamed him with this. They called him, you shall be called Barnabas before us, because that means son of encouragement. Wouldn't you love that name? Be saddled and with that one, branded as a son of encouragement. The scripture says we can say these names out loud. This is the church. 1 Timothy 3, we can say, we are the pillar and bulwark of the truth. 1 Peter 2, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. 1 Corinthians 6, we are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, we're children, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. We're destined to live, appointed to live for the praise of his glory, Ephesians 1. We're filled, we're rich, we're kings, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What if you were to repeat this name? You know, when Trump uses his nicknames for people, he doesn't just use them once. He repeats them and time and time again until it's driven home into hearts and you can't hear anything but that name ringing in your ears. Well, I would say, take up names, naming of things, put in the essence and don't put them under you, and take God's names from Scripture and say them over and over and over and over and over again until you are over and the enemy is defeated beneath you. And I started even giving some surnames here to some people. Art has been wrestling with some things over the years, but I've watched you, Art, prevailing each time, little by little, this victory, then that one. And I said, I shall no longer call you Art, but Conquering King Arthur. And I always call him that. And he's doing it. He's living up to his name. I think of Richard Shore. He's never afraid of anything. He doesn't have fear. I say, and you are Richard the Lionheart. Dale, when I visited you and you had your problem with your finger there in the hospital, and you said, I'm a bullheaded optimist, because you weren't just depressed. I said, your name is Indomitable Optimist. And Cecile, where are you? She is the hugger. Isn't she the hugger? She says, be thankful I'm a hugger and not a mugger. But that's her name. She's the hugger. That's what she does. She's so full of love. These are great names. We got to live up to them. Put names like this. It's your authority to do so. But above all, I'd say this. Where yous put on Jesus' name. Because when he was circumcised, he was given the name Jesus, which had been given him by the angel before he was born. And what does Jesus mean? Yeah, Jesus, Jesus in the Greek, Yeshua in the Hebrew, which would be Joshua again in the English, which means God saves, or Savior. That's his name. Can you put that name onto you? Do you know how powerful this name is to use in your life? When they came to arrest Jesus Christ, and they said, he stepped forward and said, "Whom do you seek?" I mean, he's taking charge of his own arrest. Isn't that interesting? And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "I am he." In other words, the great I am. I am. And as soon as he said that, they drew back and fell to the ground. They couldn't even take the power of him saying that. It has power to heal. When Peter was walking by the temple with John and he sees a lame man, "I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." The man springs up and enters the temple, leaping and praising God. And the authorities, the chief priests, arrested Peter for this. And they said, "By what name and by what power did you do this?" Notice they put name and power together. "By what name or power did you do this?" He says, "Be it known to you by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man is standing before you well. And there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So if you take the name of Jesus, it can not only powerfully defeat, it can heal and restore life, but it saves your soul. For as it's written in Romans 10, verse 13, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Romans 10 again says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you do that? Do you use Jesus' name, calling it for salvation? If you do that and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Your soul will have eternal life, and you'll reign forever in glory in the world to come. By the power of the name, the authority of the name of our King, Jesus Christ. So his name is on your foreheads. You're baptized into his name. And just here, as I conclude here, his name, as it's written in Scripture in various places. He says, "My name is Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last. My name is Pioneer and Perfecter of your faith. My name is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Christ, the chief cornerstone. My name is the Deliverer, the Good Shepherd, the Great High Priest, the Great I Am. My name is the Rock, Judge, Savior, Resurrection, and the Life. My name is the Door to Heaven, the Way to Heaven, the Light of the World, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Bright Morning Star." And we read in Revelation, "His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. And he has a name inscribed which no one knows but himself. And he's clad in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he's called is the Word of God. And on his robe and on his thigh are written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Beautiful! And don't neglect them. Let's not neglect the use and the power of names. Name things. Use the names God's given you, and above all, use Jesus' name, for he became obedient unto death in order to save us on the cross. And because he did so, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon Christ the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father, in Jesus' name, amen.